What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a story of America's bloodiest prison, told by the people who lived it, both inside and outside its gates. The brutal history, as you've never heard it before, from its origin as a slave plantation to its gradual growth as the bloodiest maximum security prison in America. To those outside its gates, it's known as Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola. But to those who have spent time inside its gates, it's known as Bloody Angola.
Come with us as we take you through the gates and give you a firsthand look at not only the stories of the stabbings, rapes, executions, escapes, and murders you won't find on any TV show or the internet, but also the murders, abductions, attacks, and hostage situations of the staff and their families, otherwise known by the convicts as free people.
Bloody Angola is a comprehensive, no-holds-barred podcast that takes you on a journey through time from its inception as a slave plantation to America's largest maximum security prison, where 80% of its population will die inside the wire.
Get mentally prepared, sit back, and listen as we cover these stories in detail.
In ways that you've never heard before from people that lived it, breathed it, and died with it. Bloody Angola. Warning, Bloody Angola is a podcast covering actual events and is intended for mature audiences.
The subject matter discussed in no way reflects the personal opinions of the host or sponsors of this podcast.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Bloody
Angola,
a podcast 142 years in the making.
The complete story of America's bloodiest prison.
And first of all, we want to wish everyone out there a happy Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day, baby. So wherever you're at, if you've gone to grandma's house or you're hunting or you're with family about to stuff up and watch football, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. And we are doing something a little different today. We thought it would be fun to do a little flip-flop with our episodes. So as everybody probably knows, Woody Overton, you have another podcast.
Yeah, Real Life Real Crime.
Never heard of it.
You don't spend 40 hours a week producing.
Right? Yeah, that's right. And Real Life Real Crime has had quite the run. And, you know, not only is it my favorite true crime podcast of all time, but Woody Overton, for maybe some of you that didn't even realize he had another podcast, he is an award winner that needs four trophy cases to keep all the awards in. And that was just this year.
Yeah, we're just stupid blessed, man.
It's crazy. We're
blessed because of all y'all. But, you know, if you're a Bloody Angola listener and you haven't listened to Real Life Real Crime, we're going to drop an episode. Now, I used to work in corrections to y'all, and including in Angola, and for Thanksgiving week, we're trading episodes. So Bloody Angola is going to get a Real Life Real Crime episode, and it's going to be about prison. Bloody Angola is going to get a Real Life Real Crime story we're about to play for y'all. All right. And it just so happened, this is one of my prison stories, and the name of it is Gal Boy.
Y'all ain't going to believe this story.
Yeah. Well, it's factual. And I always, you hear me talk about on Bloody Angola, when you go behind those walls, all the rules don't apply except for the prison rules. And this is a prison story, and
totally fitting with what we do here at Bloody Angola. Yeah. But I want to tell everybody, if you haven't had the pleasure of listening to Real Life Real Crime, after you listen to this episode, trust me, you're going to want to listen to more. Woody has over 200 episodes in his back library of Real Life Real Crime.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And you can access them at any time, y'all.
Right. Anywhere you can listen to a podcast, just like Bloody Angola.
That's right.
So, but it, you know,
talk about Netflix and chill, huh? Real Life, Real Crime and chill this weekend, baby.
If you're driving to grandma's house and it's 12 hours away, binge Bloody Angola and Real Life, Real Crime.
That's right.
So, but we're dropping the episode Gal Boy on Bloody Angola. It's a Real Life, Real Crime production, but I want y'all to hear it, and hopefully you'll love it.
You will love it. There's no doubt about it. And again, we want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. You know, this is the time of year, Woody Overton, that we really think about how blessed we are to have family and friends that spend time around us and put up with us and all those sorts of things. And we are especially blessed to have these fans.
Exactly. I was about to say, we love y'all so much. And you have helped us just grow tremendously. We didn't know what we were going to do, how this Bloody Angola was going to do when it took off, and we're killing it every week because of y'all and your liking and sharing. Please continue to do that with your friends and your uncle's mother's plumber's neighbor. You know, share it and like it and subscribe to us and leave us a review if you get a chance. Chase team members, we love you. Thank you for your support. It's invaluable to the show. You're wonderful. The next episode you hear, we're going to read out the, as usual, the Chase team members, and especially the new ones. But thank you for your support. And we're going to be having some more levels, y'all, because we have such a huge demand for it on Patreon coming up, where we'll give you some more benefits. We'll do another drop on that another day.
That's right.
But thank you for loving us. We love you. Happy, happy, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. We love all y'all. And just listen up. Real Life, Real Crime, Gal Boy's coming at you now.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
And the wolf is at your door. Your running's over, that's for sure. He already knows all about you. Cut you down.
warning, this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this patron bonus episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. As always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. Okay, y'all, I had originally planned on doing strange shit for this month's episode, and I thought we were going to get to drop it on like the second, etc., but for technical reasons, basically, Toby, our producer, runs a big fireworks stand this week, or he owns a fireworks stand, and they just closed up last night. So long story short, I'm going to save that one, okay? It's too good. It has to be edited. Not this one isn't going to be good. This one's going to be good, but I want to save that one, and then we'll push it out in August. So today I'm going to do an episode called Gal Boy, and it's G-A-L, separate word, boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get this, patron members. First of all, if you're listening to it, you're a patron member, and I really love and appreciate you, and thank you for your support. It's amazing, and it really helps the show. It really helps us go, right? So without y'all, we absolutely would not have a show, or I wouldn't have a show. So this one is going to be so raw and unedited. It's really going to be unedited because it's not going into the studio to get compressed and all that stuff. So you're going to get me with all the lip smacks and all the stuff that they take out every week, that Toby takes out every week. And it is what it is, but I want you to have the episode. And this is pretty cool. This is a story that I've been thinking about since I told y'all, or since I did the story finally free. Had a lot of correction stuff coming back to me, and this one stuck in my head. So I'm going to get to it, okay? And I'm not going to use the name of the victims or suspects on this one because I, honest to God, don't know what happened to this case, but it's a real fucking case, and it's pretty crazy. So, but let me tell you, we're talking about corrections again, y'all, the Department of Corrections. And I told you, and finally free, when you go behind those walls, when you step into that prison and that door closes behind you, it is a totally different world. It's a totally different set of rules. Outside rules just don't apply. I mean, I can't explain to you any other way than that. The way that inmates or convicts, look at each other and staff, and they all have their own little rules. But like I told you about, most of the inmates or the convicts that have sex with one another don't consider themselves to be gay. And it's just a fact. And then, like I said, they tell you, I'm having sex with this dude, but it's only because I'm locked up, right? I got to do what I got to do, to take care of myself or get my release, whatever you want to call it. And while I'm down, but out on the street, I'm married, I got kids and shit like that, right? So they don't consider themselves to be gay. But it happens. I mean, everybody on earth got here on this earth is because two people screwed, right? Everybody's got a sex drive, no matter what your sexual orientation is or isn't. But in the prisons, I mean, sex happens, whether it's, I'm sure, you know, some of it's rape, but a lot of it is consensual sex. And I'll give you a couple examples before I get into the story about this case, Gal Boy. And like, I'll give you one. It was a Super Bowl Sunday. I was working the working cell block, and they had like four TVs on the tier mounted to the wall. And of course, everybody's watching the big game and shit. I wanted to watch it too. And I think I was showering them up, and I put my chair right beside one of the cells where I could watch the TV. And the halftime came on, in, it was, I forget what year it was, but Michael Jackson was the performer, right? And so the sales right behind me, and they're watching out their screen on the TV, and it was a you know, what I call a bull and a gal boy or a sissy. Yeah, that's not a derogatory term. It's a prison term. When I say that, they call themselves that in the prison. So don't take any offense. I mean, I don't care if you're gay or straight or whatever, but I'm just telling you a story. So watching Michael Jackson comes out, I'm sitting in my chair, and Michael started doing his thing. Boy, he was singing and dancing and popping and, you know, fucking moonwalking and shit. And the guy, one of the guys in the cell says, he was a little feminine. He said, "Ooh, that Michael, he sure can dance." And then the guy, the bull that was in the cell with him said, "Yeah, and I sure would like to fuck him." I mean, I was like, "What?" And so that's just the way it was, right? The mentality of it. I'll give you another example. There was a trustee area of the prison where they had the ceiling tiles or the kind that push up so they could get to, like, pipes in the roof.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you know, talking about the square ones, like maybe you see in schools and stuff, they have metal square frames. I don't know what you call that, but it's a ceiling tile board, and you can push it up with your hand, like the whole square. And so there were two trustees who had that area. Their responsibility was cleaning or something. I don't know. But they were up there. What they'd do is get naked and climb up into that area and brace themselves on those little bitty thin strips of metal. And of course it's a small area, but they would get up there and get naked and have sex, right? And what happened was trustees, y'all. Trustees earn their right to get extra privileges and have like the most cush jobs. Like if you had this certain wing of a prison to clean and it was no traffic. And I mean, you got extra food and just whatever. You still were supervised by a correctional officer, but the trustees gained the correctional officer's trust. And therefore, you know, they pretty much, you just left them alone except for when you had to count them. But these two yahoos, I guess I might have been there, permanent rendezvous spot or whatever, but they get up in there and they're having sex, and you can't make this up. They one had lathered the other one up with baby oil, and when they were doing it, having anal intercourse, the one that was on the receiving end, the catcher, slipped. And he fell through, and he broke through the roof, and both of them fell through. And one dude got hurt bad. Like they had to take him. The reason I know the story is I had to help guide in for the ambulance to come get him. They had to take him to the hospital. Like he broke bones and shit. And the other one took him to the hole. But two normal dudes, right? They didn't consider themselves to be gay. These were two straight guys.
it's two straight guys on the outside anyway. There's just a thousand stories like that. They just didn't consider it being gay. Now, there is a certain population of the prison that are homosexuals, and they don't hide it. And these are what you call gal boys. Now, again, I know we live in a sensitive world today and shit. People think about, I mean, look it up. This, I didn't make this term up. It's not a derogatory term. And they call themselves that, gal boys. And these are the ones who go in and get turned out when they're in there and become full fledged homosexual, or they were gay before they got there. Right. But these gal boys, now there's a lot of homosexuals in prisons that aren't gal boys, and gal boys dress the part, and they actually call them her or she's, you know, other inmates were talking about and say she was doing this or she did that, or a correction officer must say, go get her and tell her to come over here. I need to talk to her. All right. And they're talking about a gal boy, and these, they would dress very feminine and, you know, try to grow the hair out and wear the little shirts in the summertime, but the little knot tied above the belly button. So when they're walking through, now they weren't supposed to do that, but it happened. And, you know, you weren't really going to write them up for, right? They wear super tight shorts. And if they could get stuff to paint their fingernails and stuff like that. And a lot of times the gal boys would sit together and do each other's hair and shit like that. They fully open homosexual. I mean, that, not an issue. I mean, that was their choice. That was their lifestyle. And so that's what they call them, gal boys. All right. So I'm remember, and I'm not going to use the names, like I said, because I do not know what happened to this case. But I know, when I say I don't know what happened to it, I don't know what happened to it as far as it being adjudicated. But I know what happened. But I remember I must have been working overtime or something. I came in because I went to a part of the prison that I never go to. And I remember I walked into the area, it might have been the bullpen, but I remember walking in and there was a bunch of inmates walking away from me towards wherever they were going. And this is like a trustee, that was what it was. It was a trustee section, I think, over at the Middle State Hospital. They were walking away from me and I saw this, it didn't click for me at second, but I saw this one from behind and it had the longest blonde hair. Pretty much I'd ever seen, like down past their, almost to their ass, long, just straight, just beautiful blonde hair. And I'm looking from behind them. I mean, I see these little tight shorts and this little sachet walk, you know, they walk from them. My first thought popped in my head is, what the fuck they got a girl in here for? And I mean, it didn't dawn on me. And then when I saw later on, when I saw her, or the, it turned out naturally it was a gal boy, right? When I turned around, this was a pretty gal boy. I mean, very effeminate, had features, actually had breasts. And I was like, holy shit, right? But this inmate, it was like that before they got to prison. They didn't come to prison and just get breasts, right? This person was a full-fledged, what would you call it? I don't know, transvestite or whatever the hell on the outside, but I'll get to that in a few minutes. But I remember seeing it, I thought that kind of, no, it doesn't make me gay. I'm telling you what I saw from behind, the long flowing blonde hair and whatever. And then I saw the boobs and I was like, holy shit, man, I ain't tripped me out, but it turned out it's a guy, right? All right. So fast forward, I don't know how many years later it was. I wasn't there for that long, like 3 years. But I was working the working cell block in the admin seg tiers that I told y'all about and finally free. And I was making a round on the admin seg tiers. And I saw that gal boy in one of the cells. And I talked to him before, you know, over the course of the years, et cetera. And I was like, what are you doing? Because this dude was definitely a convict. He wasn't about to get in trouble for shit, right? And he had like one of the most cush jobs at the prison, which was he maintained the area of one of the vocational schools. Now, this is where inmates that were going to get out, et cetera. They would go to these vocational programs and you know, teach them job skills to get on the outside. And they really had a fucking killer program, the DCI did. And they had instructors that would come in and teach them everything from auto mechanics to whatever, welding, whatever, pipe fitting, I don't know. But this guy had been down for, this gal boy had been down for a long time, and she ran, she was the head trustee for the whole vocational school, like the top whatever. And that's what, to get that position, y'all, this is basically, you know, where the inmates are unsupervised and just have full run of everything. And, but this was his trustee's trustee is what I'm telling you. And, you know, they always had the respect of the correctional officers, et cetera. Well, so I see her and I'm like, what are you doing? And, she said that she was on protection. And I said, for what? I mean, you've been there forever and you never had any troubles. Let me back it up. I don't remember if I talked to her before then or, I think it was before, yeah. She or he was from New Orleans. And the reason they were in prison, and I told you in Finally Free that they don't really talk about it that much. This person was in prison. They were from New Orleans and they used to run a bunch of strip clubs and an escort service on down in New Orleans in the French Quarter and the surrounding areas. And, but they also were running a large amount of narcotics. All right. And when she or he got busted, they hit him pretty hard. And, but she was kind of famous. I mean, when I say she had the breast, he had whatever, they had the breast, et cetera. This is what their lifestyle was. And she or he was a performer before and then built up to running the clubs and own the clubs and then pushing a lot of narcotics through and ultimately got popped on dope and sex charges, that escorting. So this is not an uneducated a person. I mean, they spoke very eloquently. They were smart. They, I think, had gone to Tulane and stuff like this. So, and the was not a dumbass, is what I'm telling you. Not some crackhead or something like this. This is one of the more, what I always say, prisons are full of dumb criminals. It's hard to catch a smart one. This guy was a smart criminal who just got too big for his britches, I guess you would say, and got popped. So talked to him and he said, I'm on protection. I said, why are you on protection? You've never had any trouble since I've been here, et cetera. And he said, come back later when you get done with your count and I'll tell you what happened. And so I did. I went and handled all the stuff and I came back when I had time and he told me, he said, yes, Sarge. He said, you know, I'm the head trustee over at the vocational school. I said, yeah. He said, well, you know that, without saying that, you know the person that runs such and such section of the school. And I said, yeah, I've heard the name. And he said, well, he started coming on to me like 6 months or 8 months ago, whatever it was. And now let me tell you something, Shala. Just because you're a transvestite or a gal boy or whatever doesn't mean that you're a whore, right? I mean, and this dude wasn't, and had money and came from money, right? Anyway, he said this person, this supervisor, if you will, who worked only on the days, he wasn't a correctional officer. It was a vocational person that would come in. You would call him a civilian, right? But they were still getting paid by the state to come in and run this part of the vocational center. And he said, I ended up getting transferred, or he had me transferred where I was more directly underneath his control. He kept making sexual advances at me and I never did anything to, you know, to bring it on or whatever. And he said but one day whenever classes were over and everybody's going back, he called in and he said, I need this trustee to stay back with me. And I thought, you know, we're going to do some work, whatever. And he said, he pinned me against the desk and he's trying to kiss me and stuff like that. And, said I said no, and I left. Let me tell you this. This guy was a preacher also, not the guy, but the supervisor. And some type of preacher, and really, really close friends with the warden. And I'm not going to say which one. But he made advances at him several times, and he always managed to escape and get away. But he's not stupid. He started keeping a log of it, the dates. And he went the first time, and he went to one of the majors that ran the unit and said, hey, look, such and such made a pass at me. And Major didn't do shit. And he said, I got it all logged down. And he said, then he said it happened again, tried and happened again. And he reported it again. He said, listen, this dude's trying to rape me, trying to have sex with me. I'm afraid that I'm going to lose my job if I don't do it and all this. And I don't want it. And do something about it. They didn't do shit about it. Now, I think that might have been because this person was like super tight best friends with the warden, and maybe they didn't want to get involved with it. I don't know, but every time the civilian guy would make an advance at the gal boy and try to do the different things, every single time he said he wrote it down and kept the notes, and more importantly is he wrote down who he told and what was done about it, which was fucking nothing. And so he said the first time the guy actually raped him, he couldn't get away from him, and he raped him orally. And, he went out and he wanted a meeting with one of the higher ups and wrote a letter for it to whomever. And they brought him in, supposedly, and this is his story, listened to his complaint. And then they dismissed it, and then they fucking put him back in the same place. And so this guy's like, you know what? Fuck, I can't get anything done, maybe because of who this guy is that's attacking me. So, I told you he kept the log, and what he was doing is he was sending it to his attorney. And the only inmate mail that is not open and read before it goes out and when it comes in is the mail that they send to their attorneys, and they mark it big on their confidential for attorney, and the correction officers can't open it, right? And so he said that he keeping the list, and when the first oral rape happened and they didn't do anything, then he sent it to his attorney, or sent the information to the attorney, and shit, they put him back in there, and it happened again. He said it wasn't like it happened every day, but when he could get a chance to hold him back, he would do it. And then he said it went to oral rape, and then he was trying to penetrate him anally.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And couldn't finish or whatever. I don't know. Couldn't get an erection to penetrate him anally. But that happened again, and he blew it up again, and nothing happened. And he said, you know what? Fuck that. Now, this was probably 93, maybe 92, 93. Now, DNA had just really come out and been started to being used. And so it was in its infancy stages. But this dude was no dummy. The guy boy knew about it. And his attorney told him, said, look, if you can get some fucking get DNA or get some of his pubic hairs or whatever, the next time get them and send them to me in the mail, they're not doing anything, then, we're going to have a hell of a lawsuit and a criminal prosecution against this guy, and possibly some of the correctional officers for malfeasance for not doing their job. And let me add this. He said that every time that he would force him to do it, that he would call him, he would act like the guy was a female, and he would call him the warden's wife's name. Get that shit. And he told him what the name was. Like, holy shit. He's like, yep. And he's saying all kinds of dirty talk to me. come on, such and such, you know you like this, you've been wanting it for so long, da da da. So he's living out according to the inmate. This teacher was living out his fantasies of having sex with the warden's wife through the gal boy. And I guess he thought he was going to get away with it. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of rapes that go on like that, and inmates try to tell. And for whatever reason, the CO doesn't want to get involved. I don't know. But this guy, he said it just happened again, like a week before. And he said this time he raped me orally, and he said he never could penetrate me from behind. He said he tried, but he never could get hard enough. He said, but the last time he raped me orally, he said when he came in my mouth, he said I kept the I had a tissue in my pocket, and he said I acted like I was cleaning up, and I spit it in my tissue, and I wadded it up and put it in my pocket. Well, what does he do then? He goes back to his dorm. He didn't even bother to report it this time, right? Because nothing's getting done. And he sealed that shit up and sent it to his lawyer in New Orleans. Now, he didn't have a podunk lawyer or a public defender. This fucker had some money. And it's, I mean, he still owned the clubs and stuff through whatever, through corporations or whatever. I mean, say he had like money and sent it to his lawyer. And the lawyer took it, sent it to a lab, and then ultimately ended up coming in with restraining orders and protective orders, et cetera, and went to the DOC and just slammed them, right? And so they started an investigation on it. But then once the good correction officers found out, they immediately moved him back there to where I was. And so he was in holding, and he wasn't getting out. He had like 20 years for all the charges. And so sent him back there to protective custody, but he couldn't stay there. They were going to ship him to another prison just in case, right? And you don't want it to be an Epstein, whatever his name is, that pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, where he magically ends up hanging himself. But check this out. They moved him before that was on a weekend, like on a Saturday or something like that. And when the powers that be did the investigation, and they went in and told the warden and all that, and they call in this teacher on that Monday, they call him in, they bring him in to the what we call the headquarters building or the White House, and they were going. I mean, the cops were there. The investigators were there. They were going to get him, and they brought him in for questioning. Now, still at this point, the semen hasn't. I don't know what point of analyzing it was, et cetera, or the pubic hairs, whatever this guy had on him. So it's still kind of a he said, but the. What happened was they started asking the ones that he had on his list, the COs, hey, did he ever report this to you, et cetera. And I think one of them admitted to it, and the rest of them denied it. But it's still kind of a he said. But they bring in this preacher guy who was the teacher, who was the warden's homie, bring him in, and they question him on it. And when he's getting ready to leave, he got all freaked out about it. And when he's getting ready to leave, guess what he does? He slips and falls on the steps of the administration building and acts like, he might have really been hurt, but from what I heard, he acted like he got hurt and was like, oh, don't touch me, call an ambulance, etc. And therefore, the last I heard of it, he was on medical leave as a civil service employee, and while the investigation went on. So, and I must have left a short time after that, because I don't know whatever happened to it. And we didn't have the internet back then, y'all. This is not something I can go look up. But it's crazy, right? I don't know. I was thinking about that one after the story last week. But so the mindset being different, not homosexual, and the ones that are homosexual and openly homosexuals call themselves the gal boy, but even they don't like to be raped or deserve to be raped. And I'm assuming this guys telling the truth. From everything that I heard through the grapevine afterwards, he was definitely telling the truth or what have you. So I don't know. But gal boy, just a whole different world inside the prison. So I don't know. And I appreciate y'all for tuning in and listening. This is a short one. I'm probably going to release Strange Shit towards the end of the month. How about that? So this is just be something to tide y'all over until then. A little bit of a different story and a little bit of different insight, but it is still, it was real life and it was a real crime. It doesn't matter who it is that it's committed against. It was a real crime. And, you know, Patreon members, I appreciate your support, and I hope y'all like your videos that you get. I'll be doing this week's episode. I'm gonna record the live video, and I don't want to say a certain date in case some shit happens, but we know it's gonna be before Friday. I will do probably Wednesday, but I'll make the announcement. If you can tune in to watch the live video on the Patreon page, great. If you don't, then it'll still be there, y'all. When we get it posted that night, the video, the raw, unedited, just like I'm doing now, sitting here shooting shit, version without, before Toby gets it, right? So that video will be there on Friday, just like the last month or so, a month and a half. You will get the audio version edited by Toby Tomplay of this week's episode that's coming up. And you also, that video is going to stay on your Patreon page. So, you know, you can go back and watch it whenever, but on Friday you get the commercial free edited version with the music and all that. And of course everybody else gets it sometime late Saturday. But so I hope you enjoy that. It seems like a lot of people are using that and liking it. Look, if we owe you something, send us. You're not bothering us. Look, we send out so much stuff, and that my wife and them do a really great job of it on getting most of it out. But some stuff does fall through the cracks, unfortunately. But we don't know. I don't know. And we can't get it fixed if you don't give me a heads up. Okay, so... And we'll do that. Hey, and a couple of y'all have used your phone calls with me now. That's awesome. And I think I have another one tomorrow evening. And love talking to y'all. You know who you are. And so if you're on that level, use it, y'all. I don't bite shit, but we might shoot the shit with you for however long you want to. And if there's any other ideas that you have, let me know if there's something else. I mean, I know we give the discounts and the early episodes and the commercial free episodes and the videos of me doing it. And then you get the bonus episode every month. And so I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that y'all could think of, because I'm not a podcaster guy. If you're a patron to another podcast and they do something that's cool that we don't do, let me know. And we'll certainly add it if we can. And, that's it. I appreciate it. I hope everyone had a happy 4th of July and stayed safe. Y'all were growing leaps and bounds. If you want, you can follow us on Instagram. I'm posting something on there every day now. It's real, as that at symbol, real life, real crime. And, or me personally, it's the at symbol, Overton Woody. And so I'm posting videos and some pretty cool stuff on there. We're making that grow. Facebook groups, man, we got so many of them, and they're all awesome. And please continue to like and share us and watch us grow. I mean, we're over 2 million downloads or listeners or listens now, and we're still growing. And it's because of y'all. And it certainly wouldn't be in the position I'm in today if it wasn't for y'all. So I apologize about this episode when I tell you that it's so raw. I mean, you're not even getting the music on it right, because that's in the studio with Toby and I don't have access to it, but I don't want to make y'all wait any longer. So just throw you this little bone, to show you my appreciation, and I'll do something else before the end of the month. Okay. So I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you so much. And hey, let me talk to you real quick about organ donation. I was a guest on a podcast last week, The Gifted Life, in it's LOPA, Louisiana Organ Procurement Agency. And this, she's not 21 anymore. This mom called in and told us about how her 5-month-old baby got killed in a crash, and they were able to use her organs to save 4 lives. And hell, I'm old hard ass, right? I mean, I've seen all the death in the world, and I almost cried during that podcast. So I'll let you know when it's going to be out. I'm going to get you a link to it. But the gift of life, be an organ donor, man. Lifers, if you can, I'm taking that on as my own personal mission, if you will, from now on. And I will not do a real life, real crime, anything without asking people to sign up to be an organ donor. It's hugely important. The Livingston Parish Literacy and Technology Center, you can go to their page, and I don't have it. I'll put it in the notes and click on it and go under the criminal justice students or organ donation and click, fill it out and hit the under criminal justice students. And that's how we know how many were getting through the podcast. And we had got like 400 and something for them before COVID hit. And I got away from it, but I'm not getting away from it anymore. Y'all, it's too important. I mean, you're not going to care about, I'm sure LOPA doesn't, probably like me saying this, but shit, you're not going to care. You're going to be dead. And if you can send your organs, I mean, there's very few people that can do it because they have to be harvested while you're still alive. And certain tissues, I think, can be up to 24 hours later. But shit, I mean, give the gift of life, man. Be a hero. When you're dead and gone, I mean, they can still bury your body. They just won't have your organs in it, right? And so other people can go on and live through that gift. And so get that heart on your license. We have the forms. I'll make sure it's just easy peasy. Sign up. It takes a couple minutes and then you give the gift of life. And that's important. Courtney Coco's case. Shit. COVID, y'all, is killing us, literally. But I can tell you this, the case is moving. I can't tell you what I know, but it is moving. But COVID has slammed it again. And so just keep praying. The difference is, I'm telling you, something's going to be done. And you're hearing it first, patron. That the Miss Barbara Blunt's case, same thing. I'm getting more information, and now we're getting hit again. I'm afraid they're going to shut everything down totally like they did before, and I pray that's not the case. But specifically on Coco's, I know exactly what the hindrance is because of COVID, but it is what it is. It's coming, so we're not ever going to give up on that. And I don't know. So I guess that's it. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Thank you for being patron members. You just don't know what it means. And I'm going to continue to try to bring you more and more stuff. So I love and appreciate each and every one of you. I'm sorry for this is to be so raw and unedited. You don't need to get the new music on it, but it is what it is. Thank you for listening. Until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace. Dead Monday. Oh,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.